The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. To those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
A man called Jim Egan worked for the East Coast Computer Fair in 1977. His job was to help customers decorate their booths at the fair. He knew from experience that the best way to attract investment was to have an attractive booth at the computer fair. That would draw potential customers. Egan was approached by a couple of long-haired kids who wanted some chrome displays to make their booth look up-to-date and jazzy. Egan said that the displays he had were only for rent, but the kids said that they were short of cash, but maybe Egan might take some shares in their company in payment. He said he would only accept cash. So Steve Wozniacki and Steve Jobs did without the chrome. They fixed up their own booth, and they kept their shares in what would be Apple. Presumably, Jim Egan is still decorating booths for hard cash. It's a good thing that the disciples today were interested in investing in the dream that Jesus told them about. Today's readings are flavored by the theme of taking the next step. As it was in the days of Advent, Jesus continues to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah said. The gospel begins by telling us that John the Baptist has been arrested. So Jesus takes over and continues to preach almost the exact same message, a message of repentance, for the kingdom of God is near. The gospel tells us of some amazing people who were prepared to stand up, leave everything familiar behind, and to invest heavily, to invest with their lives completely in what Jesus asked them to do. His investors, though, were far from perfect. Firstly, we hear of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These four fishermen find themselves being caught by Jesus. These same four candidates were quite a distance from being perfect. Andrew, James, and John were the three disciples that ran away from the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, as you know, denied he ever knew Jesus, but did follow at a distance. Yet despite the disciples' weaknesses, Jesus saw in each one something unique and a special gift that would be used to serve his church. Returning to their initial call, there must have been something very impressive about Jesus for them to make their decision so quickly. We don't get swept up that quickly by Jesus, by any ordinary run-of-the-mill person, but maybe by Jesus. There was something so special about the call that he made, some indefinable quality that set him apart. There was also something special about the plan that Jesus had for them. Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. What was there of that kingdom that got these disciples and fishermen so excited? And why are we not as excited about that message? Maybe we don't understand what the kingdom is, or maybe it just hasn't been presented that well. It reminds me of a woman I read about somewhere. The woman had read somewhere that dogs were healthier if they were fed a teaspoon of cod liver oil each day. So each day she followed the same routine. She chased her dog around the house until she caught it, wrestled it to the ground, and managed to force this fishy substance down its throat. Until one day, in the middle of the chase, the bottle was knocked over and smashed on the ground. With a sigh, she loosened her grip on the dog's throat and left in order to wipe up the mess. To her surprise, the dog trotted over to the puddle and began lapping it up off the ground. As it happens, the dog loved cod liver oil. It was the owner's method of application that the dog had objections to. Sometimes I think the same can be true of the good news of the kingdom of God. It has been poorly presented at times. Maybe we've never really been captured by the attractiveness and power of that good news. Jesus had a vision for the world, a picture of how he intended it to be. Jesus saw a world where God ruled every heart, a world of righteousness, peace, and justice, a world of love and harmony and unity. I know Jesus talked about heaven and the life in the hereafter, but he also had a vision for this world, the here and now. He set about bringing that kingdom of heaven to life, the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom was at hand. It is available. It is not merely a distant dream. It is a present possibility. Every once in a while, we can catch a glimpse of that kingdom. J. Edwin Orr, who was a former president of church history at Fuller Theological Seminary, described the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the Welsh revivals of the 19th century. As people sought the infilling of the Spirit, they did their best to confess their wrongdoings and to make amends. An unexpectedly created severe problem was created for the shipyards in which these men and women worked. Over the years, the workers had pilfered all kinds of things, everything from wheelbarrows to hammers. all had been stolen. However, as people sought to be at rights with God, they started to return what they had taken. The result was that soon the shipyards of Wales were overwhelmed with returned property. There were such huge piles of returned tools that several of the yards put up a sign which read, "If you have been led by God to return what you have stolen, please know that the management forgives you and wishes you to keep what you have taken." Wouldn't you love to see a world where such a revival swept this nation? Couldn't you get excited about a world in which people began to make restitution for wrongs? Couldn't you get excited about a world in which you could always trust people to do the right thing because God lived in their heart? Couldn't you get excited about a world without child abuse, without murder, without broken families, without drug addiction? A world without fear or poverty or disease? Couldn't you get excited about a world like that? Today, the disciples were called and named. In the registers of God's peoples, your name has been included since the day you were baptized. What we need to know is that the kingdom of heaven is still at hand in this world. It remains a very real possibility wherever there are followers of Jesus who are willing to live out what they believe. Christ is still looking for co-workers, men and women who will be fishers of men, who will seek to introduce their friends and neighbors to that kingdom of God. Can Jesus count on you?